there and posted, so you'll have an opportunity to take a look at those. I will go over a detailed schedule with you at the end of our opening remarks, but first, Senator Sue Glick and myself want to briefly outline the three bills the Indiana Senate intends to move in this special session coming up. The first, of course, deals with the abortion after the U.S. Supreme Court decision in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. This decision allows each state to determine its own policy on abortion, and I acknowledge that in doing so, it opens arguably the most difficult, polarizing issue that we face in a generation. I understand the passion that exists on both sides. Nevertheless, it is our job in the Indiana General Assembly to chart a course for Indiana and determine what our position is on this extremely difficult issue. First, a comment about our process. Our process will not be cut short in any way, and all of our procedural rules will be followed. With a difficult issue such as this, we need to ensure first that the debate is civil and substantive, and second, that everyone, all sides, have the opportunity to be heard. This will include lengthy committee hearings and where the public will be welcome to testify. To date, we've been working hard on proposed legislation, and during that process, we've received literally thousands of letters, emails, phone calls, and visits. Many of us have also met with numerous groups and individuals, including, in particular, Senator Glick, from all sides of the issue. As is always the case, when we get involved in legislation, we learn a lot from the folks and the experts that we speak to as we try to craft legislation. Certainly, there are two sides to this issue. Those, of course, of the life of the unborn, which many, myself included, feel is a living human being, and the women who want to have an abortion. However, as you wade into the details, you very quickly realize it is much more complex than it may have seemed at first, and opinions differ on even the most nuanced of issues and language. Our underlying goal is to protect human life, promote more adoption and less abortion, by limiting abortion to the life of the mother, rape, and incest, and by being compassionate and supporting pregnant women, some of whom find themselves in extremely difficult circumstances. I now want to turn the microphone over to State Senator Sue Glick, who is authoring Senate Bill Number 1. Senator Glick.
Thank you, Senator Bray. First of all, I think we need to talk about the fact that this is, we're going to try and outline the language of the bill, and we will take some questions at the end, but right now we just want to kind of go over the guidelines that are set forth in the bill. Being pro-life is not about criminalizing women. It's about preserving the dignity of life and helping mothers bring happy, healthy babies into the world. Many in the pro-life movement have long believed in exceptions to abortion restrictions for the life of the mother, and that exception is included in the bill. In addition, we recognize that there are heartbreaking cases where, because of violence committed against women and young girls, we have to provide for some additional exception. That's why the legislation we are introducing also provides exceptions in the case of rape and incest, which I believe the majority of Hoosiers accept. We want to be very clear about what this bill does not do. This bill does not affect access to the morning after pill, also known as Plan B, or any other method of birth control. This bill does not affect treatment of miscarriages, treatment of ectopic pregnancies. It does not affect in vitro fertilization procedures. It does not prohibit ending a pregnancy when the unborn child would not be able to survive due to a fatal fetal anomaly. And it does not criminalize women seeking an abortion. Senate Bill 1 also does not create any new penalties for doctors who perform abortions. The existing penalty that allows a doctor to have his or her license revoked if he or she performs an illegal abortion will remain in place. That sums up the crux of the legislation, and I'll concede to Senator Bray, and he'll go on with it.
Thank you, Senator Glick. As Senator Glick said, our underlying goal is to protect human life by limiting abortion to the life of the mother, rape and incest, and doing everything we can to support women and babies in the state of Indiana. While we may have educated guesses about what kind of support may be needed following the implementation of Senate Bill 1, no one can predict exactly what services will be needed in a post-Roe Indiana. That said, this special session, we intend to use Senate Bill 2 to add an additional $50 million to programs to support women who are or may become pregnant, new mothers, babies, and families. We will continue to advance this effort when we come back in January for another budget session. This $50 million includes an estimated $5 million to increase the cap on Indiana's adoption credit tenfold, from $1,000 to $10,000. And we will continue to look for ways to cut red tape and reduce the cost of adoption in the upcoming legislative session. Another $45 million for the creation of a Hoosier Families First Fund. This will allocate $45 million to agencies and programs to support women from before they become pregnant to and during pregnancy to the needs of mothers, babies, and families that they may have once the baby has arrived. Some of those programs include programs that will promote the health of pregnant women, maternal support services like Real Alternatives and pregnancy resource centers, access to contraception and pregnancy planning, including the removal of barriers where we can to long-acting and reversible contraception, in particular when the new mother leaves the hospital so she doesn't get pregnant again shortly thereafter. Nurse Family Partnerships Program, which is a pilot program that has already been moving the needle for Indiana's maternal and infant mortality numbers. First steps, increase access to daycare for low-income families through the Child Care Development Fund, additional support for foster families and adoptive families in the OB Navigator Program. So all of that is contained in Senate Bill 2, which was filed under Senator Travis Holdman's name, but may ultimately end up being carried by Appropriations Chair Senator Ryan Mishler. Senate Bill 3, finally, my colleagues have come up with a proposal, given our strong fiscal position, to provide some relief to Hoosiers. First, let me say we are grateful to the hardworking Hoosiers who have kept Indiana firing on all cylinders over the last couple of difficult years. The state revenue coming in at nearly 6.2% over projections, a 15% growth in income tax, a 10% growth in sales tax, and a reserve fund found just north of $6 billion, our state is in a strong financial position. Even with our rainy day fund set, even with our rainy day amount set aside, and the maximum $2.5 billion being transferred to our pre-96 teacher pension fund, happening right now as we speak, by the way, we still have about $1 billion in excess reserves we can use to help Hoosiers while continuing to be good stewards with taxpayer dollars. This is fantastic news. Unfortunately, at the same time, Hoosiers are saddled with rapid inflation. As a nation, we experienced 9.1% inflation in June, just last month, and we're hit particularly hard on food and gas. But core inflation is up significantly as well. While wages have increased due to inflation, and so has the need for workers, those wages don't seem to be going as far. Nationally, real wages fell by 1% in June alone. There is a consequence to this, as there is to all irresponsible spending that goes on in Washington, D.C. And the bottom line is that Hoosiers are hurting. And as good as Indiana's bottom line looks, our state dollars don't go as far as they could either. In fact, some of the major capital projects we passed in our last budget have not been carried out because inflation has carried the price well past the amount of money budgeted to complete those projects. Additionally, while we have been making great progress over the years, we still have significant unfunded pension obligations to our teachers' pre-96 pension fund. We are proposing Indiana take care of Hoosiers and at the same time take care of our own fiscal house. To give relief to Hoosiers, Senate Bill 3 contains the following. A six-month reprieve from the 7% sales tax on all residential utility bills, including gas, electric, water, and phones. Nearly every Hoosier will benefit from this every month on every utility bill. Secondly, while we feel the utility sales tax freeze will benefit more Hoosiers in a more meaningful way, and totally suspending the gas tax, Our members think it's important that we not allow any further increases in taxes at the pump for the remainder of this fiscal year through June 30th of 2023. As you know, sales tax on gas fluctuates each month based on the average price of gas across the state of Indiana. Senate Bill 3 temporarily caps that rate at 29.5 cents per gallon, and it suspends the increases to the gas tax and special fuel tax that took effect on July the 1st. Both of these policies will remain in place until June 30th of 2023, which is the end of the state's fiscal year. These two changes combined mean the total taxes drivers pay at the pump cannot increase until next July, though of course the taxes can go down if the prices continue to fall. This is a cap, it is not a freeze. Also, $400 million to pay down the pre-96 teacher pension fund, which is currently has an outstanding liability of $9.8 billion. Our caucus thinks it's important to continue aggressively paying down that long-term obligation so Hoosier taxpayers don't have that hanging over their heads any longer than necessary. Another $215 million to fund the much-needed capital projects that have been outpaced by inflation that were originally funded in our 2021 budget. We've had many ongoing discussions about what the best way to provide relief to Hoosiers is in this inflated economic environment, but we believe suspending the sales tax on utilities and capping fuel taxes is the best way to go to provide relief to nearly all Hoosiers and ensure that money stays in the state of Indiana. That brings me to the end of our prepared remarks on the bills. I now briefly run you through what we expect to be the schedule for the first week of this special session in the Senate. You will be receiving a detailed copy of this schedule following the conclusion of this press conference. On Monday, that's July 25th, we will convene session at 11 a.m. to introduce bills on first reading. From 1 to 5 p.m. that day, the Senate Committee on Rules and Legislative Procedure will take up public testimony on Senate Bill 1 right here in the Senate chamber. The committee will meet again on Tuesday to take more testimony from 9 a.m. till noon. And we will take a vote on the bill after testimony is concluded on Tuesday morning. Also on Tuesday, the Senate Committee on Appropriations will meet to hear Senate Bills 2 and 3. The Senate will meet for session to adopt the committee reports on Wednesday. We will meet on Thursday for second reading, and we anticipate meeting for third reading on Friday. That brings us to the end of these prepared remarks, and we are now ready to take any questions if you have them. Quite a bit of conversation on that that's not in the bill at this point in time. Yeah. This is it limits to abortions to the life of the mother, rape and incest. Obviously a big story. I think everybody in our Senate caucus paid attention to that heart-wrenching, tragic story. If you look at this bill as I've described it, that young girl would have an opportunity here in Indiana to be treated. Ultimately, yeah, the doctor's going to have a lot to determine there. The language is essentially very, very similar to language we've had in the Indiana Code here since 2011. It says it's permanent and substantial impairment to the life of the mother is basically what the language will say. I'm sorry? Well, the prosecutor doesn't have authority, I don't believe, to take a doctor's license under those circumstances.